the Jesus tradition. Many of those stories were short stories that were told in various contexts in the Gospels, so that different storytellers would use these short stories at different places in their longer narrative. Passion narrative was a long story that had its own shape and integrity from a very early period. It was the story that was the climax of the story of Jesus' journey, the story of his suffering, his death, and resurrection. This story was told for persons who lived almost 2,000 years ago, who were in their identity a part of the nation of Israel. Whether they were Gentiles or Jews, the people who listened to this story and for whom it was originally told were children of the tradition of Israel, for whom the chief priests and scribes were their leaders, for whom the experiences of Israel as a community oppressed by the Roman Empire were their experiences, and for whom, therefore, the entire identity with the tradition of Israel was their story. It is important, then, also that you listen to this story as one who is identified with that tradition, from Abraham through the Exodus, through the Davidic kingdom, through the exile, through the years, centuries waiting for the coming of the Messiah. In that context, then, and in all these ways, let me invite you to listen to this story of Jesus' passion according to Mark. Now the feast of Passover and unleavened bread was the next day. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might arrest him by treachery and kill him. For they had been saying, "Not during the feast, lest there be a riot of the people." On that day, Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper. And as he was reclining, a woman came who had an alabaster jar of pure nard, very expensive ointment. Breaking the jar, she poured it all over his head. Now there were some there who were angry, and they began to say to themselves, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? It could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, a man's wages for over a year, and given to the poor." And they rebuked her. But Jesus said to them, "Let her alone. Why are you giving her trouble? She has done a beautiful thing for me. For you will always have the poor with you, and whenever you want to, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever in the whole world the gospel is preached, what she has done will be told in memory of her." And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. The chief priests, when they heard it, rejoiced, and they promised to pay him money. And he began to look for the best time to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lambs are sacrificed, Jesus' disciples came to him, and they said, "Teacher, where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of them into the city and said, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the householder, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples went out, and they went into the city, and they found it just as he had said. And they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining and eating, Jesus said to them, "One of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." And they began to be sad and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread with me in the same dish. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." And then, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and he said, "Take it. This is my body." And taking a cup and having given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And truly I say to you, never again will I drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You will all fall away. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter said, "Well, even if they all fall away, not me." Jesus said to him, "Oh, truly, truly, I say to you, this day, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you will three times deny me." But Peter said vehemently, "Even if I must die with you, I will never deny you." And they all said the same. And they came to Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And taking with him Peter and James and John, he began to be deeply troubled and distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and stay awake." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, this hour might pass him by. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And he came back, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you even stay awake 1 hour? Wake up and pray that you may not enter into the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away again and prayed, saying the same words. And he came back. And again, he found them sleeping. And they didn't know what to say to him, for their eyes were weighed down. And he went away again a third time. And he came back, and again he found them sleeping. And he said to them, "Still sleeping and taking your rest. It is enough. Arise, let us go. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us go. Behold, my betrayer comes." And while he was still speaking, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, came with a crowd armed with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign. "The one I kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away securely." And coming up to him, Judas embraced him and he kissed him and said, "Rabbi." And they seized him and laid hands on him. But one of those who was standing by drew his sword, and he struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answering said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple, and you did not arrest me. But this is happening in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And forsaking him, they all fled." There was a young man who was following him, clothed only in a linen garment, and they seized him. But leaving the linen garment, he ran away naked. They took Jesus to the house of the high priest And they called together the whole Sanhedrin. All the chief priests and the scribes and the elders gathered together. Now Peter followed at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting by the fire with the guards, warming himself by the light of the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin sought testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they couldn't find any. For the witnesses all bore false testimony. They lied, and their testimony did not agree. Some of them stood up in the midst and said, "We heard this man say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build up another not made with hands.'" But even so, their testimony did not agree. So the chief priest stood up in the midst and he said, "Have you no answer to make to all these charges that they are bringing against you?" Jesus was silent and said nothing. And the chief priest again questioned him and said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And at this, the chief priest rent his robes. And he said, "What need do we have for further witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. How does it appear to you?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And they began to spit on him and to cover his face with blows and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the chief and the guards received him by striking him in the face. And meanwhile, Peter was down below in the courtyard. And one of the maids of the high priest saw him. And coming up to him, she looked at him and she said, You were with the Nazarene, Jesus." And he said, "Well, I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway. And the maid began to say to those who were standing by, "He is one of them." And again, he denied it. And after a little while, those who were standing around began to say to him, "Surely you're one of them. You're a Galilean." And Peter began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man whom you speak." And immediately, cock crew for a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will 3 times deny me." And himself. He wept. Early in the morning, about 6 o'clock, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, having held a consultation, bound Jesus and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. And Pilate questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answering said to him, "You are saying it." The chief priests and the scribes accused him of many things. And Pilate again questioned him and said, "Well, have you no answer to make? You can see how many things they are charging you with." But Jesus was silent and said nothing, so that Pilate wondered. Now at the feast he used to release to them one prisoner whom they asked. And there was a man in prison who was named Barabbas, who had been bound with those who had committed murder during the insurrection. And coming up, the crowd began to demand that he observe custom. And Pilate said to them, "Do you want me to release for you the one you call King of the Jews?" For he had perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had handed him over. But the chief priests incited the crowd to ask for Barabbas instead. And Pilate said, "Well, what then shall I do with the one you call King of the Jews?" And they said, "Crucify him." Pilate said, "Well, what crime has he committed?" But they shouted vehemently, "Crucify him!" And so Pilate, wanting to satisfy the crowd, handed Barabbas over to them, and having flogged Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away into the praetorium, their barracks, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and having plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And they knelt down before him and paid mock homage to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and they struck him in the head with a reed. And they knelt down, paying mock homage to him. And when they had finished mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes back on him. And they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby, one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mingled with myrrh. But he did not take it. And they crucified him, and divided his garments among them by throwing dice on them to see what each would get. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by wagged their heads and derided him, saying, "You who would tear down the temple and build it up again in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." The chief priests mocked him to one another with the scribes, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we might see and believe." And even those who were crucified with him reviled him. At the sixth hour, there was a deep darkness that descended over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who were standing at the foot of the cross said, "He's calling Elijah." One of them, running and filling a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed and held it up to him to drink, saying, "Ah, wait! Now let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the centurion, who stood facing him, when he saw how he died, said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And there were women who were watching from a distance. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and Salome, who had been with him when he was in Galilee and had served him, and many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was evening, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had already died, and confirming it, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down from the cross, He wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock and rolled a stone over the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went and bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And getting up early on the first day of the week, they went out to the tomb as the sun was rising. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" But looking up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled back. Now it was a big stone. And going into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right hand, clothed in a white robe. And they were amazed. He said to them, "Don't be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look at the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he said to you." And going out from the tomb, the women fled, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were